Thank you. So good morning. As she said, I'm Denise Hughes. I'm the project lead. I'm lucky to have Kristen, who's our evaluator on the project, and Robin, back there, who is also one of the team members and our manager. So we have no financial relationships to disclose. We're going to go through about demonstration the effective use of self-advocacy as an avenue to successfully navigate the healthcare system, and we're going to identify and teach practical skills needed to understand insurance coverage, completing medical forms, and navigating through a doctor's visit. So when we started this project, we started with a photography project with adolescents, and then from the findings of that, we went on and did focus groups with adolescents and then their parents. And what we found is adolescents really lack the skills to navigate the healthcare systems. Adults do, but we're a children's hospital, so we focused in on adolescents. And what we decided to do was engage and empower adolescents to be their own healthcare advocates and teach them really skills that they could then take on and help them in the future. So we designed a health unit that is being taught in health classes and career tech ed classes in high schools. And we created a workbook, and we have a bunch that we're going to pass around. So the students will get this workbook. They actually get to keep it and take it home, so it's a reference manual for them going forward. There's a teacher's guide that accompanies it so that the teachers teaching it have the teaching tips and the words to go along with this, because adults have trouble navigating the healthcare system, so we're providing them with the language to go along with it. And what we did was put it all on Google Drive to share it, because updating things gets very complicated through email, so a lot of people are very technologically savvy these days. So we put all of the PowerPoint presentations. We have videos that accompany it. So some kids are more visual and they like videos and to break it up a little bit. There's a Jeopardy review that we do at the end with them. And then we also did the electronic version of this student workbook and the teacher's guide so that the teachers would have it for references or if they need to like make photocopies or something. There are four modules in the workbook. The first one really starts with definitions. It's laying the groundwork. So we ask, what is health? What is healthcare? What is health literacy and self-advocacy? And we have one activity that we have the students tie it all together so they can draw a concept map, they can write words, they can draw a picture. And really we want them to know that those four words are individual, but they all work together to help make you be able to properly navigate the healthcare system and take care of yourself. One of the activities we do with self-advocacy is we ask them, how do you make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Something everyone's done. Anyone want to take a stab at it? I'm going to wake you all up. So how do you make a sandwich? Okay, go ahead. Someone's buying it.
Get some bread and ice, put the jam and peanut butter out, and slap it on.
Slap it on? All right. Does anyone else do it different? Okay. Anyone else do it different? Okay, so if I made you a boysenberry jam, chunky peanut butter sandwich on pumpernickel bread, you'd all eat it? Why? You told me peanut butter, jelly, put the bread together, slap it together, and eat it. Okay, so that's one activity we do, and basically we say, we get the same response, but it's just showing that everybody's different. Everybody has different preferences. Everybody has different needs. So if you just tell me peanut butter, jelly, put it on the bread, eat it, that doesn't do the doctor you're seeing or the provider you're seeing any good, because it's not clear enough about what's going on with you. They need to know exactly what's going on with you, and that's one of the running themes throughout the entire unit when we teach the students. We go over the different doctor types. So there's primary care doctors, there's specialists. So we go through that so that they know that they, when they age out of a pediatric system, what is the age that they do it, because every doctor's office has different rules. We go over when do you use the emergency department versus urgent care centers versus going to your primary care doctor. So because a lot of times now you have pop-up clinics like urgent care, doc in a box. So when do you go to those versus that? And we go over personal and family medical history. So why is it important to know these things? How do things run through your family? Are you more at risk? So these are conversations we have. And then we actually ask them to go home and talk to their parents or guardians about these things so that they are more equipped in the future. Module 2 is really about learning symptoms, diagnoses, allergies, medications. So we go over how do you read a medicine label, something a lot of people take for granted, but it's a big problem because you have a lot of overdosing happening. And then we talk about vaccines, and that's usually a pretty hot topic. When we get to Module 3, it's really about insurance. So how do you get insurance? What does the card look like? What are the pieces on the card look like? We talk about the insurance exchange. So when is open enrollment? We take them actually to the website, have them pull out their phones and navigate through it on the phones because then it's in the memory of their phone. And then we talk about privacy and confidentiality. So things that as adolescents they have the right to do when they go to the doctor, that they can see the doctor by themselves without their parents in the room. And then in Module 4, we really make it come to life for them. We have it as more of like a mock visit. So we tie the first three modules all together. We have them do a mock phone call. We have them do a mock visit. We have them fill out the forms that you get when you actually go to the doctor's office using a fake scenario so that they're not putting their information in there. But we ask them to highlight the information on the forms that they don't know about themselves so then they can go home and ask their parents and guardians about that information. And then they do the visit, they check out, and then we have them fill a prescription. So this is one of the labels that's in the book. So what would you use this for? Allergies. So if you had a headache, would you take this medicine? No. And these are like real life scenarios that we actually do with them. So what is your dose? How much of this would you take? Depends on the age. So all of you are over the age of 12. So 2 tablets every 4 to 6 hours. So if after 2 hours you still weren't feeling well, should you take more? No. And we ask them that because a lot of people just assume, oh, it's not working, I need more. We ask them for side effects, and the reason we do that is because the first time you take it, you may not know what the side effects are to you. This one happens to be dizziness and drowsiness. So should you drive a car? Because they're all in high school, most of them are starting to drive. So what should you avoid? And then we ask them about storage. So things that you don't consider, like we ask them, should you keep it in your car? And you shouldn't because it's room temperature. Then when we go on to vaccines, we actually have them pull out their phones for this and Google the CDC vaccine schedule. That way they can see what vaccinations are appropriate for them to have. We ask them where are the 3 places they can go to find out which vaccines they have and don't have. Do you guys know? Not as a child, you can't go to the state registry. You have to be a provider, at least in Delaware. The doctor's office? The school. That's the one they always forget, is the school nurse. And then their parents. So that way, we let them know you can find out what vaccines you have and what you don't have. Make the choice if you still want to get vaccinated. There is a catch-up schedule, and we show them where that is on the CDC website. And then we do a fact and myth. So, can you get the flu from the flu shot? No. And that always causes, well, my mom got the flu shot and 2 days later she had the flu. So we get a lot of conversation when we do all this interaction with the kids. So children should still get vaccines for diseases that are no longer common. Fact. Because what happened in Disneyland last year? HPV vaccine is only given to girls because it protects against cervical cancer, so boys don't need it. No. And that was a pretty funny conversation, too, when we first started this, because you'd have boys stand up in the class and go, well, I hope so, because I got it. And the girls are like, well, why'd you get it? You don't have that. And so it became a very enlivening conversation. Then we go over the parts of the card. So we talk about the member name, the member ID number. This usually throws them off because there's letters intertwined sometimes with the number, so sometimes they would just give us the numbers and they would forget the letters. So that was why we did that. And then when we get to copays, we've had students add up everything, so they tell us like their copay for their doctors, like $3,000. We're like, well, where are you getting that? And they're like, well, if you take all those numbers together and add it up, it's $3,000. And we're like, okay, no. So when you go to your primary care doctor, it's really $20. So these were things. And then we talk about the prescriptions. So we say sometimes you may have 1 card, you may have 2 cards, you may have 3 cards. It depends on who your insurance is through. In this case, this card, because it says RX on there, it covers insurance. But sometimes that's not on there. Or there may be just a little RX symbol at the bottom on the right-hand side where it says PPO. So that's how you would know. So we give them little clues to look for on their cards. So we piloted this last year with 13 high school teachers, 11 schools across Delaware, and 35 classrooms, and 948 students completed it. And what we found is it didn't matter school by school, and overall, everything was significant from, we did a pretest and we did a post-test for knowledge gain. They all statistically significantly increased from pre to post in every school and then overall. We looked at the teacher type. So we had health teachers teaching it. We had health service career tech ed teachers teaching it. So they could have been nurses. They could be athletic trainers, occupational therapists, physical therapists. We had a school nurse teaching it, and we had physical education teachers teaching it. And what we saw is it didn't matter what type of teacher taught it, the students still got the same level of improvement across the board. We did see that the career tech ed teachers, the students started at a higher pre-score, and we attribute that to they're in the health field, so they took, like, they're majoring in high school in nursing assistant or medical assistant or dental assistant, so they're in the medical field, so we assume they're going to have more medical knowledge than the general student in the high schools. But it was really good to know for us that, like, the PE teacher did just as good of a job as a school nurse teaching this so that the students were getting the same education. We solicited feedback from the students. Overwhelmingly, they thought the lessons were very helpful. They felt that at their next doctor's appointment, they would know what to do better than they did before the lessons. They really liked the materials, so they liked the workbook, the PowerPoints, they thought the activities were good, and they liked the videos that accompanied it. We also asked the teachers for their feedback. So the teachers thought that the materials were helpful for teaching the unit. And so for our next steps, right now we are in the process of expanding this throughout Delaware. We're looking at doing a two-year follow-up. So right now we pretty much get them in 10th grade. We want to look at what might happen in 12th grade, how much was retained, because that's when it's going to become really real for a lot of these students. But health is where our opportune time is, and in Delaware it's taught in 10th grade. So we're going to look if we need to do boosters and what else needs to be done between 10th grade and 12th grade to figure out our next steps. We're collaborating with healthcare providers, so we work in a children's hospital system, so we're looking to work with them because they're located throughout the state and in the Delaware Valley to see how this could be done. We've created an advisory board, so we have our champion teachers. We've asked them to come together and help us figure out what's next or what our next step should be. We are currently pilot testing this in other states, so we have California, little pockets in California, in Wisconsin, in Florida. So we have other states who are starting to do this for us, so we've made modifications based on their insurance rules. And then basically we're looking in the future to explore self-efficacy as a predictor for improved health. So everybody has to show their outcomes. Tracking kids throughout when we're not collecting, identifying information is kind of hard. So if we can link it to self-efficacy, which has been shown to have improved outcomes, health outcomes, that's how we're going to try to track it, because that way we don't have to identify individuals. And that's our contact information.